Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank you for assembling us together on this Maundy Thursday. We pray that your word will transform us from the inside out as we come into your loving and abiding presence and we respond to your everlasting love. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there is a World War II story that tells about two prisoners, female prisoners, who succeeded in escaping from a German concentration camp. When the Nazis found out, they ordered all the other female prisoners to stand in a row. Every 10th woman was taken out of the line to be killed. Presumably, all these women were regarded as having helped the two who had escaped earlier. One of those selected from the row was a communist Jew. She was very hated by the Nazis. When she was ordered to step out, she started to cry. She pleaded, "Please have mercy on me. I have a little child." But the guards replied, "What do we care for a dirty Jewish child?" Next to the Jewish woman, however, stood a Russian Christian by the name of Maria Skopysova. An inner voice told her to step forward to say that she wished to die in the place of the Jew. At first, she resisted. Why give her life for someone who wasn't a Christian and also a communist? But Maria recalled that it was Good Friday. What's more, the voice persisted, "I died not for the good ones, but for the bad ones, for sinners. Someone must die innocently. You step forward and say that you wish to die in her place." So, Maria did, to the great amusement of the Nazi officers. As she went to her death, she told her executioners, "When God took his people out of slavery in Egypt, it is written in our Bible that he walked before them in a column of fire. I pray when my body burns, it will be a column of fire that will show you the way to God." Soon after this, the Nazis lost the war. When the concentration camps were occupied by Allied troops, the prisoners told them what had happened to Maria. Yet deeply impacted them. So to give one's life for a human being is the greatest love of all. Our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave his life not just for one person, but for all people, his enemies and his friends. The Apostle John introduces us to the events of the Holy Week by describing Jesus in verse 1. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So what is it that motivates, drives, and fills every single moment in Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection? It is the love of Jesus Christ for his disciples, the love of Jesus Christ for all of us, which stands out all the more when you realize how everyone else in this story, you can read that in subsequent chapters, shows a distinct lack of love, from Pilate to Peter, from Herod to Judas. They don't come across as the most lovable lot, which is where we fit in too. According to the hymn writer Samuel Crossman, this is about love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. And this is about a love that enables and empowers us to love one another. If you ever doubt God's love for you, the events of these 3 days are for you. When your hearts grow cold and you struggle to love, the events of these 3 days are also for you and me. Tonight from our text, we consider this love from 4 angles. First is the illustration of love. You read in verses 4 to 5, Jesus rose from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and started to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. So washing feet before the era of closed shoes, paved roads, and proper sewage drains. This is Jesus' illustration of his love. It is as if Jesus is saying to us, let me give you a little picture of what my love is like. Let me add out a little parable of my love. And the picture is of a love which doesn't wait to be asked for help, but takes the initiative. A love which doesn't discriminate, but washes the beloved disciple John and the traitor Judas alike. It's a love which isn't afraid to get down into the dirt, but which shows itself in this very humble and lowly service. Now, this is humble work for anyone, let alone for Jesus, our Lord. Indeed, the one who was humbly washing his disciples' feet is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. First 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. Yet it's because of who he is and because of the authority given to him by the Father that Jesus' death is valid for all people of all time. During this Passover meal with his disciples that we read just now, right, the time of Exodus, Jesus enacted the meaning of his coming death. You can read this in verses 31b to 33. By washing his disciples' feet, he showed that he had come to serve people by his death. What is even more striking is that Jesus, their revered teacher and Lord, puts himself in the position of a servant among them. An early church father, Severian of Gabala, describes Jesus in a very memorable way. He who wraps the heavens in clouds, wrap him around himself a tower. He who pours water into the rivers, tip water into a basin. He before whom every knee bends in heaven and on earth and under the earth, himself bends his knee to wash the feet of his disciples. Have you ever noticed that in our lives, how much we try to get out of or even resent doing the things that we consider below our status? Being promoted is not just about having more money, but one of the things that we shamefully delight in as human beings, as we move up the ranks, it is that we no longer must do certain things that we did when we were down the pecking order or down in a society. It's very impractical at times, because sometimes things must be done and you're right there and you could get it done easily and quickly yourself. But just to make sure you and everyone else knows that now you are the boss, okay? You are the superior, better than other people. You leave it for the lower rank person to take care of. Well, not for Jesus. Nothing is below his dignity. He does not need to bolster his own sense of status and identity by affording the tasks below him, including washing the disciples' feet. But instead, he knows that who he is as the beloved Son of the Father. And so he volunteers to put himself in the place of a servant. So there is the illustration of love. But then there is a resistance to love. Next slide. We can always rely on Peter to make things a bit more interesting. He says in verses 6 and 8, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You will never wash my feet. What sort of resistance is this? Partly it's just a misunderstanding, but I think there's more going on here. It's one thing that Peter thinks he believes Jesus' dignity, as it should be the Lord's feet that should be washed. But another, that he, as the disciple, feels the need to teach this to the teacher. So this is a resistance to love, which wants to be humble, but is strangely with becoming proud. Okay, pride. Peter pridefully thinks like that. That is why he asks with resistance to Jesus' love, Lord, do you wash my feet? But Jesus says in verse 8, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. And so all of a sudden, you get the feeling that Jesus is talking more about just foot washing, that he's not just concerned for hygiene, but for holiness. And this is where we move from love resisted to love revealed. Jesus says to Peter in verse 7, you don't understand now, but afterward or but later, you will understand. Later? After what? It's later, after the cross. This is where Jesus is heading. The love which is illustrated in the foot washing is revealed in all its fullness as Jesus gives his life as the perfect lamb or the perfect sacrifice. On this night, he humbles himself by kneeling down and washing feet. But on the next day, he humbles himself. Looks like by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So when Jesus says to Peter in verse 8, unless I wash you, you have no share with me, he is also saying, unless you receive the cleansing work I have come to bring through the forgiveness of sins won by my death on the cross, there's no fellowship with me. So, if Peter has persisted in objecting to what Jesus is doing, you have stopped to be one of Jesus' disciples. But in response to Jesus' warning, Peter has a dramatic change of heart, saying, Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. Indeed, this is love revealed in action. As Jesus reveals his love to Peter through the washing of his feet, Peter responds in revealing love back to Jesus. So Peter's hands and his head already washed, but it is only his feet that need washing after the dusty journey. That there's a deeper meaning here. Peter has already been washed but cleaned by Christ. Now it is the individual sins that need attention. Those of us who are baptized believers, we have been washed in our baptism and are united to the death and resurrection of Jesus. So, Jesus washed us clean of all our sin so that we can have a share or fellowship with him. We who believe in Christ and are baptized are cleansed, forgiven by him. Now, around the world, there are temples of other religions. And in those temples, there are little idols of other gods, or sometimes one big statue or idol. If you are there at the right time, perhaps early in the morning, you can see something very interesting. People who serve in these temples will be there, cleaning, washing, and polishing these idols. Just think of it, people washing their gods. But Jesus turns it upside down and reveals to us, how is God who comes to wash you? So this is love, fully revealed in every sense of the word. However, there's a problem with the feet. They easily get dirty and must be washed again. So we sin every day in our thoughts, words, and deeds. By the good we fail to do, and by the wrong we do, we continue to need God's forgiveness. But the good news is that Christ continues to serve us by the means of his word that declares repentant sinners forgiven, as we did just now, and by means of his supper that delivers to us his body and blood to eat and drink. Together with them comes the new covenant of life and forgiveness to all who believe in him. Our Lord serves us with the benefits of his cross. Sometimes the question is asked, you might have asked it yourself, about the person who repents, receives absolution of forgiveness of sins and the Lord's Supper, but then sins once again before one dies. Does that sin stop this person from going to heaven? Well, verse 10 answers this question. The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. So this cleansing that Jesus gives is greater than all the individual sins that dirty the feet. When a person dies with repentance and faith in Jesus, even there's no opportunity to receive absolution or the Lord's Supper at the last moment, that person dies cleansed, forgiven by him. So what a tremendous love revealed to assure us that we are forgiven of our sins when we are truly repentant, even at our deathbed. Then finally, there's the imitation of love. By washing his disciples' feet on the night of his arrest, our Lord's also given us example to follow, verse 15, which I underline. We are not greater than our Lord and teacher, verses 13 and 16. Since he served us, we also are to serve one another. We are to do good to all people as we have an opportunity. But we have a special responsibility towards our brothers and sisters in the faith. Galatians 6:10. That is why Jesus commands his disciples, including us, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 14. Then we will know and understand these things. Verses 12, 17a. And we are blessed if we do them. Verse 17b. Because we imitate Jesus' love. Then he continues in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. So for Jesus' disciples, he shows the way, and we are called to imitate his love. We are called to love one another in this way, which doesn't wait to be asked, but takes the first step. To imitate this love, where we are unafraid to get our hands dirty, this love, which doesn't talk of things beneath our dignity, but because of Christ's love for us, is free to put ourselves in the place of a servant toward one another. And that is true security in Christ. The commandment is new because it has a new basis, his love for us that led him to give his life for us. So who else can love like that? Yet as we recognize our need and seek his cleansing and powerful Holy Spirit, just now we sang, he will help us. He will generously strengthen us with his love so that we may indeed love one another. Now a pastoral carer visited a family with very young children and was finding it very tough to cope. It's customary on such pastoral visits maybe to talk about how things are going, to read the Bible together, to encourage and to pray for people. All these are good things. But what made the lasting impact on the person visited was a simple act of loving service. The visitor noticed there was a load of nappies in the washing machine, and so while the couple were tending to the baby, the person just went and hung them on the line without any fuss. Such a simple thing that the visitors probably soon forgot. But for this man, the head of the household. His eyes well up with tears every time he tells this story. It was an act of love at just the right time. That's why Jesus reinforces further in verse 35. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It was this very same night that Jesus washed his disciples' feet, that the Apostle Paul read just now reminded us that Jesus also instituted the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 10:17 says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Just now we sang, make us one, Lord, make us one. In other words, in his supper, the Lord joins us together as members of his one body. In this one body, we are to serve one another. To do so, we must resist gossip, slander, or ill-feeling. We must do what will benefit our fellow members. We must bear with one another in love. We must encourage one another, not tear one another down. We must share one another's burdens, joys, and sorrows with true concern for one another. Hence, here at this altar is the love of Christ made tangible. Made tangible. As the Christian hymn says, you can taste his love in the bread and wine as he gives his very body and blood for you and continues to love you to the end. My song is love unknown. My Savior's love to me. Love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Yes, this love stands for love others very eagerly as Jesus has set that example for us. May God grant this love to us for Jesus' sake. Let's now quieten our hearts and let this hymn minister and speak to the depths of your heart to experience Jesus' everlasting love to the end. Just go next.
His love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? Sometimes they strew his way, and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to their King. Then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst. his rage and spite. He made the lame to run, he gave the blind their sight. Sweet injuries, yet they had these, themselves displeased and against him rise. Might I stay and sing? No story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in her sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we partake of the Holy Communion this Maundy Thursday, we might ask that we have undergone spiritual change because of Christ. And even though in the eyes of the world, we may be unequal and are not of the same background and status, help us to willingly serve one another, even as our Master shows us by his personal example. Help us day by day to grow in humility so that we will always be willing to put others ahead of us. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.